Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for another opportunity I have to share your precious word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Another scripture I'd like to add to our study today is found in Luke's Gospel. Luke's Gospel, chapter 10, verse 38. Came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. That certain village was Bethany. It's just not mentioned here, but it's Bethany. It's just on the top near Mount of Olives. She had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, came to him and said, "Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me." Jesus answered and said to her, "Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things." Boy, that's a perfect scripture for the subject of worry today. "But one thing is needful, and Mary has chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her." Slaying the giant of worry. If it sounds like I'm reading, I am. I apologize. But it's a good apology. It's written by David Jeremiah, and he has good things to say. I don't want to let too much of it out. I'd like to give it all to you. It's excellent material. I've never came across a Bible study booklet that I enjoyed more than this one, because it talks and touches every one of us. At the very moment as you're hearing my words, you're probably like most people, worried about something. Let's face it, everyone encounters that huge giant of worry at times. And that's where we have arrived in our study of the giants. Corrie Ten Boom used to say, "Worry is an old man with bended head carrying a load of feathers which he thinks are lead." That's a beautiful definition of worry. Being anxious about something that doesn't exist, in fact, but which we believe does or might exist. In the New Testament, the word for worry is translated by the phrase to take thought or to be careful. It comes from a Greek word which means to have a divided mind. So, to the warrior, to have your mind divided between some legitimate thoughts and thoughts that are not legitimate, you shouldn't be thinking. These are thoughts you shouldn't be thinking of. Worry is future focused. It's all about the future. The future's not here. The future's not ours. Worrying cannot change the future, nor can it control the future. And Jesus said it was wrong to worry. And we read his words in Matthew chapter 6. Three times there, he said, "Do not worry." And so these words give us our marching orders to defeat this giant of worry. So before we start, I want to tell you what "do not worry" doesn't mean. First, it doesn't mean that we're not to plan. The King James Version of Matthew 6:34 says, "Take therefore no thought for tomorrow." That almost sounds like "don't think about tomorrow," which is not what it means. Jesus himself certainly planned, and the scriptures support that. He was responsible in many things in his life, and he made lots of plans, but he was talking about our approach to the future. Not worrying is not the same as not planning. Jesus is not saying don't ever be concerned. We're not supposed to float through life on a breeze of indifference. We often refer to people that do. We tell them they got their head in the sand, ignoring the realities that are around us. There certainly are plenty of things in life to be morally, spiritually, and practically concerned about. But not worrying is not the same thing as not being concerned. When Jesus says, do not worry, he doesn't mean don't plan. He doesn't mean don't be concerned. He means don't get so exercised about the things which you have no control that you paralyze yourself and those who depend on you. Worry, anxiety, change, nothing except the one who does the worrying. And it's always in negative ways that it affects the one that's worrying. So we're going to look at a few things here. Why worry is fruitless. First of all, we're going to look at worry is inconsistent. It certainly doesn't make any sense that God has already done the biggest job, which created our body, our life, and everything that we see and hear and feel in this world, and then fail to do the smaller job of providing what we need to live in this life. Doesn't make any sense. It's not consistent. God obviously knew what it would take for bodies like ours to exist. We need food, clothing, and shelter. Verse 25, that's where we get this information. It's completely inconsistent with our wise and loving God, that he did not one thing without doing the other. Our bodies, our lives, is very clear evidence that God is a creator and a provider. For him to not feed, clothe, and shelter that which he's created doesn't make sense. It's inconsistent. Secondly, it's irrational. Worry is irrational. Verse 26 is where we get this information. It shows us how irrational worry is. God is able to provide. We know the answer to that is yes. The question that now comes before us is, will he provide? Absolutely yes again. If God provides for something as simple as the birds of the air, won't he also provide for you? It's irrational to think that he won't. In Matthew chapter 10, 29, 30, and 31, Jesus says, two sparrows can be bought for a copper coin. In Luke chapter 12 and verse 6 says, five sparrows can be bought for two coins. So it appears the market for sparrows was like this: buy two for a penny. But if you buy four, they throw in a fifth sparrow for free. Sounds like a Walmart advertisement, doesn't it? Jesus is saying that not even the most inexpensive and smallest parts of God's creation change the status without being part of his will. Not even the hairs of your head, Matthew 10:30. So if the tiny things like sparrows and hair are under his watchful eye, how much more are we who are the pinnacle of his creation? Will he care for us? The answer is, of course he will. Thirdly, worry is ineffective. It's inconsistent, irrational, and it's ineffective. Verse 27. How can worrying add anything to your life is the example that's given in verse 27. Can worry and add anything to your life? Absolutely not. It can't. It's totally ineffective. When it comes to improving or changing your prospects for the future, it's ineffective. And so Jesus uses a cubit as an illustration to make his point. Anybody know how many inches is in the cubit? 18. You know how that was determined? There's how it was determined. 18 inches. tip of the finger to the elbow. Measure yours, see what you got when you get home. Okay? So the Lord was using the illustration of the cubic. And so what he's saying is, how many of you can actually worry all day about your height and add 18 inches to it? That's not going to happen. So the answer is no. You could worry all day and not change one thing about yourself except make your hair a bit more gray. So it's likely that Jesus meant something deeper than just the issue of height. It's possible he was referring to the length of our life. Who by worrying could add any more length to our life? And of course the answer is no one. Cemeteries are no doubt filled with people whose lives were shortened by worry. Do you know doctors are discovering more and more negative effects of worry? Stress, anger, and anxiety on the human body? It's instead of lengthening your life, worry might shorten it. Worry doesn't change tomorrow, but it sure changes today. Worry robs you of the strength and the ability to enjoy the gift of life today. God wants you to enjoy. Worry is illogical. Jesus turns to nature, the beautiful lilies of the field, which God has clothed in glorious splendor. And so does year after year. We know far more about the beauty of nature today than was apparent in biblical days. We certainly have discovered unbelievable beauty in the four orations of this earth, which are even more astounding than the lilies. And so the Lord here says we should even be more obvious to us today than it was even to his time of his disciples. Then the Lord gives another illustration, that of Solomon, was the richest and most beautifully dressed sovereign in the world. Even in Solomon's golden glory, couldn't compare with the delicate beauty of the flowers of the field, who are clothed effortlessly by God every spring. Is it logical to think that God, who clothes the flowers in splendor, will not also clothe those whom he has created? No, it is completely illogical. And so our Lord's argument, based on nature, if mankind is the pinnacle of creation that David wrote in Psalms chapter 8, we should certainly expect that God would assume the responsibility for providing for our clothing as well. And fifthly, worry is irreligious. It betrays our spiritual heritage. In verse 31 and 32, our Lord compares those with Israel who worry about the future to the Gentiles. This is not to be put down as non-Jewish people, but it's a statement about a religious heritage. Gentiles were the pagans or the heathens of the world. They were either idolaters or atheists. They either worshiped wood or stone idols or no God at all. And so in that case, they had every right to be worried about the future. But you see, for us, who claim a personal relationship with our Creator, worrying is a complete contradiction of what we say we believe. To worry is to act like there's no God who has promised to take care of us. That doesn't mean that Christians don't have momentary worries. Ask any parent who has raised teenagers. And you'll discover that worries are a consistent part of life. But you see, the key is to take a momentary worry and use it as a springboard to mature and a spiritual response. When we make worry our constant companion, we betray our spiritual heritage. Isn't that so true? Our Lord doesn't rebuke us. I want you to notice how tenderly he concludes. Your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. Jesus knows that worry is a liability of living in this fallen world. And so he wants us to learn that worry is a leaky boat, incapable of transporting us safely to the shore of the future. So there is a safer way to get there. Defeat that giant of worry by seeking God's kingdom and his righteousness above all other things. And then I'll close with how to fight the giant of worry. There's two things that are needed: priorities for today and a plan for yesterday and tomorrow. We need a system of priorities. Much of the worry that destroys people is the worry of a divided heart. A divided heart can't decide what it believes and therefore how it's going to live. And so it's caught up in every wind of change that blows through our society. And a person without these priorities will constantly find his or her heart captured or worried about everything that might be. Our Lord said we are to focus in on just one thing in life: the kingdom of God and those values which it stands for, verse 33. And when we do that, everything else in life will fall into place according to the will of God. You see, our King takes care of those who dwell in his kingdom. There are many Christians who worry, and they do so because they know they have violated the priority of seeking God first. And not only do they worry about the future, they worry about worrying about the future. It becomes a cycle that seems hard to break. And the only way to stop it is to jump off this merry-go-round of worry and ask, what is the most important thing to me? And if you conclude that God is most important, you are ready to make a clean break from worry. Making God your priority will prepare you for developing a strategy for dealing with the yesterdays and tomorrows you used to worry about. And that brings us to the strategy program, the final stage, the key truth in understanding how we can defeat the giant of worry. Focus on today. You know that's all we have. Tomorrow never comes. When it does, it becomes today. So focus on today. No one ever sunk under the burdens of today. But add yesterday and tomorrow to today, and it can capsize your life. Jesus said it this way in verse 34, sufficient for the day is its own trouble. He knew you'd have enough problems with today. You don't need to worry about it any other day. Sufficient are the problems this day. Excuse me. Dr. Osler, a famous physician of years past, made a very helpful observation. He had noted how ocean-going vessels were able to seal off various sections of the boat so that the leak could be contained in only one part of the ship. Though damaged, the ship could still make it to safety, just so he suggested we need to develop that capacity for sealing off the yesterdays and tomorrows that fuel the fires of worry. And we need to learn to live in the compartment of today alone. Do not dwell on your tomorrows, Jesus taught in verse 34, probably referring to Deuteronomy 33:25, as your days, so shall your strength be. You will have strength from God as the events of your days requires. We need to seal off the doors that keep us from worrying about tomorrow so that tomorrow doesn't sap today of its strength. We need to seal off our yesterdays, those days which are already in the history books and cannot be changed. There's no way you can alter them anyway, so don't worry about it.
It's past.
Secondly, do not dwell on your yesterdays. There's three things I have discovered people worry about when it comes to yesterday. Sins, successes, and sorrows, all which are unchangeable. We worry about yesterday's sins. People who come to Christ, usually from a background stained by many things, often have a difficult time putting the memories of those things out of their minds. It's certainly my privilege to remind people, all who have sinned, that God has put our sins as far from the east as to the west. Psalms 103, verse 12. They say they can't forgive themselves. We need to allow God to seal off from the sins of our past. The guilt and shame of them cannot leak into the compartment of today. We worry about yesterday's successes. Sometimes those who have no problem sealing off their sin don't do so well sealing off their successes. Many who come into the Christian life have reached the pinnacle of success in their vocational career, have a hard time switching priorities and their focus. The Apostle Paul was a young Jewish scholar on the fast track to success in Phariseeism. When he met Jesus, he closed the door on his past successes, forgetting those things which are behind. Philippians 3:13. In order to focus on Christ and his kingdom, we must learn to do the same. And then lastly, we worry about yesterday's sorrows. This could be the hardest. We put aside sin and success, but the sorrow that lingers after life's tragedies and heartaches is often difficult to seal off. It's like sealing off a part of our own heart and soul, the place where sorrow lives. But we must learn to live in the present. God is the great I am. Not I was, nor I will be, but he is the great I am. And so the Christian who lives with him today is the one who will be free from worries about yesterday, today, or tomorrow. God will help you deal with the problems of today if you will follow his instructions about worry and be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians 4, 6 and 7. And I'm closing with this. The seven most important words for would-be warriors are, don't worry about anything. Pray about everything. And you will be able to face the giant of worry, and you can win. Wow. Isn't that beautiful material? Thank you, Brother Jeremiah. Let's stand. It's time to go home. I hope you learned something about worry today. I did. It was a blessing to me. And I wanted it to be a blessing to you. There are some things we can be concerned about, but don't take an anxious thought. No anxious thought that would paralyze you. God wants you to be free and enjoy this beautiful day. This is a day the Lord has given. We will rejoice and we will be glad in it. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for this wonderful opportunity I had today to share your word to these, your people. And I pray, Lord, that this word will help them from this day forward, every day in their lives. Thank you for everything that you do. It's time to go home. Give us a safe trip to our places. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Lord bless you.